نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We'd like to begin this evening in this lecture number 5 with the 5th principle at Asl al-Khamis that has been mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah in his book Al-Usul al-Sitta. And along with this fundamental, the explanation that has been offered by Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Khali al-Husaynin rahimahullah. This evening, the explanation that has been given by Shaykh Muhammad has been coupled with something or a long quotation which he has transmitted from one of the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and due to the length of it, I will try as best I can to go quickly, a little quickly, so please bear with me. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says in the beginning of this essay, as we have read in each of the previous lectures, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, min ajab al-ujab, wa akthar al-ayat al-dala ala kudrat al-malik al-gullab, sittatul usul. And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, of the most amazing of matters and the greatest of the signs, which indicates the power of Al-Malik Al-Ghallab, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are sittatu usul, six fundamental, six principles, basic principles, bayyanaha Allah ta'ala bayyanan wadihan lil'awam fawqa ma yadhunnu al-dhanun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear these six principles with a clarity that is for the common people, beyond what anyone might imagine, that everyone can understand without any difficulty. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا غَلِفَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَا الْعَالَمُ وَعُقَلَى بَنِي آدَمْ إِلَّا أَقَلُّ الْقَلِيلُ. Then after this clarification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with perfect clarity, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, after this, many of the most intelligent of people in this world, and the most rational of the children of Adam, human beings, many of them have deviated or erred concerning these principles, have misunderstood them and deviated from them. إِلَّا أَقَلُّ الْقَلِيلُ, except an all but negligible few. After this introduction, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions that Asl al-Khamis, the 5th fundamental. بَيَانُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ لِأَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ وتفريقه بينهم وبين المتشبهين بهم من أعداء الله المنافقين والفجار. Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah begins this principle by saying, بيان الله, the clarification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah, the one who is free from imperfections, the clarification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the awliya Allah, those who are the awliya of Allah, who are the awliya of Allah, indeed, that is the friends of Allah, those who are close to Allah, those who are near to Allah, due to their observance and adhering to the law of Allah, which He has revealed through the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, clarification of the awliya of Allah, wa tafriquhu baynahum wa bayna al-mutashabbihina bihim, and also the distinguishing, or the any clarification, distinguishing between the awliya of Allah, the true awliya of Allah, the true friends of Allah, those who are near or close to Him, distinguishing them from those who imitate them, yani from those who try to put themselves forward as being of the awliya of Allah. They attempt to show themselves as awliya of Allah, while in fact they are not. From amongst the enemies of Allah, min a'da'i Allah, yani those who imitate the awliya of Allah, who are indeed from amongst the enemies of Allah. They are the awliya of the shaytan. They are the enemies of Allah, al-munafiqina, the hypocrites, wal-fujjar, the corrupt, immoral, sinful people. Indeed, those who imitate the awliya of Allah, or who try to imitate them, while not observing the laws of Allah, they are indeed the enemies of Allah. They are indeed the awliya of the shaytan. And they are either munafiqin or fujjar. And they are hypocrites, or they are at least corrupt, sinful, immoral people. وَيَكْفِي فِي هَذَا. And it is sufficient. That which is sufficient as a proof and as a clarification of this matter, this principle. He said, وَيَكْفِي فِي هَذَا آيَةٌ مِنْ سُورَةِ آلِ إِمْرَانِ. That what is sufficient as a proof and a clarification of this matter is an ayah, a verse from Surah Ali Imran. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ. And it is his saying, yani this ayah, it is the saying of Allah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. قُلْ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say these words. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The Prophet ﷺ was ordered by Allah to say to those who claim that they love Allah. And love, al-mahabbah, it is one of the greatest signs or one of the greatest characteristics of the awliya of Allah. Allah loves them and they love Him. And here in this ayat, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is using it as a proof that this mahabbah or the love of Allah, Allah's love for someone and their love for Him, it is indicated in this ayat in the words, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If indeed you love Allah, then follow me. And if the true love of Allah is indicated, the علامة or the sign of the true love of Allah, it is اتِّبَاعَ الرَّسُولِ, following, adhering to the way of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Say to them who claim that they love Allah, say to them, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If indeed you really love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then you must follow me. You must follow the Messenger, the Prophet, who has been sent with the revelation of the law of Allah, the commands of Allah, and the guidance of Allah. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow me, then Allah will love you. If indeed you love Allah, then you must follow me. And if you follow me, Allah will love you. You will love Allah and Allah will love you. It will be mutual love. It is al-ittiba', following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the greatest sign of the love of Allah. And it is the love of Allah that is one of the characteristics of the awliya of Allah, those whom He loves. Listen to Surah Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 31. And then he says to the end of the ayah. Yani he didn't quote the complete ayah here. وَآيَةٌ فِي سُورَةُ الْمَائِدَةِ. And also, as a proof and a clarification of this matter, it is sufficient for us to quote an ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 54. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ. And it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. To the end of the ayah. يعني here, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, you who believe, oh, you who believe. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Whoever of you turns back from his deen. Whoever apostates. Whoever turns back and abandons Islam and goes back into kufr. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ. Then soon Allah will come. He will bring a people. سَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. With a people who He loves them. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a people that He loves, and they will love Him. Allah will love them, and they will love Him. And those who turn back from the deen of Allah, then Allah says, if they do so, He will bring a people that will not be like them. He will bring a people who He will love them, and they will love Him. Again, al-mahabba, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these people, and their love for Him is a sign of their nearness to Allah and their closeness to Allah, or their wilayah, that they are of the awliya of Allah. وَآيَةٌ فِي يُونُسِ. And likewise, as a proof of this principle and a clarification of this matter, it is sufficient to mention an ayah in Surah Yunus, in Yunus chapter 10 verse 62, وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ, and it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَخَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ, isn't it so that verily the awliya of Allah, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that there's no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. There's no fear for them of the future, of what is ahead of them in the next life. The awliya, the true awliya of Allah, who are believing in Allah and worshipping Allah. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلِيْهِمْ, they have no fear about what is ahead of them, because they have obeyed Allah and worshipped Allah. So what is ahead in the next life, it is good. They have no fear. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلِيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they have no grief. They do not grieve about what is in the past, because what they have left behind, it is only أعمال الصالحة, it is good deeds. So they have no grief about the past. What are their characteristics? He says concerning those awliya of Allah, the two main characteristics of the awliya of Allah, and these are the primary characteristics to which we can identify someone who is really a wali of Allah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They are those who آمَنُوا, who believe in Allah, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they were fearing Allah, they have taqwa. And here, some of the scholars said that these two words, al-iman and taqwa, here, when they came together, the meaning of al-iman here, it means that al-i'tiqad bil-qalb. It means that conviction which is in the heart. And the taqwa, it means the action, the righteous deeds that are done by the body parts, whether it is speech or actions. Yani al-iman and taqwa, it means the true conviction of belief in Allah in the heart, and then acting in accordance with it. Yani the proper actions and speech that are in accordance with that iman. In Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 62. Then Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, ثُمَّ صَارَ الْأَمْرُ عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ مَنْ يَدَّعِيَ الْعِلْمُ وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ هُدَاةِ الْخَلْقِ وَحُفَاظِ الشَّرْعِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ لَا بُدَّ فِيهِمْ مِنْ فَرْقِ اتِّبَاعِ الرَّسُولِ. Then the matter, it reached, the situation reached the point where most of those who يَدَّعِيَ الْعِلْمُ, who claim to have knowledge, وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ خُدَّاتِ الْخَلْقِ, and he claims to be of the guides of the creatures, the guides of the creatures of Allah, of the human beings, of the people. وَحُفَّاذَ الشَّرَعِ, and those who preserve and protect the shara', that is the sharia, the law of Allah. The situation, ثُمَّ صَارَ الْأَمْرُ, يعني it became reversed. The people began to imagine, or they began to believe the reverse. The situation became reversed, where they considered the awliya of Allah must be of these characteristics. He said, it reached a point where إِلَىٰ أَنَّ أَوْلِيَا أَنَّ الْأَوْلِيَا لَا بُدَّ فِيهِمْ, that you must find in them these characteristics. Yani they will not be awliya of Allah, except that you must find these characteristics in them. فَرْكْ اِتِّبَاعَ الرَّسُولِ, the abandonment of following the messengers. Yani no one will be awliya of Allah, according to these people whose concept is distorted and corrupted and reversed, no one will be from the awliya of Allah, except that you must find in them these characteristics. ترك اتباع الرسل, abandoning following of the messengers. ومن تبعهم فليس منهم, and whoever follows the messengers, contrary to what they think, whoever follows the messengers, if you follow them, then you are not from the awliya of Allah. فليس منهم, then you will not be from the awliya of Allah. Whoever follows the law, the sharia, because they think they are above this. ولا بد من ترك الجهاد فمن جاهد فليس منهم, and likewise, in order for someone to be from the awliya of Allah, according to them, it is of a necessity that he must abandon al-jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah. And whoever performs the jihad, then he is not from amongst them. Yani he is not of the awliya of Allah. He is not one of the awliya of Allah. And the third characteristic, or the third point that they claim, وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَرْكْ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى, and it is also of a necessity in order for someone to be from the awliya of Allah, that they must abandon al-iman and taqwa. They must abandon true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and piety and taqwa. Yani avoiding what Allah has prohibited and acting in accordance with what Allah has commanded. فَمَنْ تَأَحَّدْ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, and whoever makes obligatory on himself, or whoever requires of himself to stick to and to observe these two qualities, al-iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taqwa, piety, acting in accordance with the law of Allah, then he is not from amongst the awliya of Allah. And then the Shaykh, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, closes this principle by dua, making dua, Ya Rabbana, Nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. Innaka sami'u dua, that we ask you, O Allah, for pardoning of our sins, and al-afiyah, well-being, or protection from sinning. And that you pardon our sins that we have committed, and that you protect us from falling into sin. Verily you are the one who hears the supplication. And then Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymin, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this principle, he mentions first the saying of the author, the clarification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of who are the awliya of Allah. And he says that concerning this statement, the awliya of Allah, they are those who amanu bihi wattaquhu wattaqamu ala deenihi. The awliya of Allah are those who believe in Him, who have iman, and who fear Him, who have piety, and who observe Allah's laws, who have taqwa. And also he mentioned here another characteristic which is not mentioned in these ayats, but is mentioned in another place in Surah Fussilat, yani concerning those who say, yani, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اتَّقَامُوا, that those who say Allah is our Lord, yani who bear witness, who testify that Allah is the one that deserves to be worshipped, that He is the only Lord. Whoever has this iman, ثُمَّ اتَّقَامُوا, and then they act in accordance with that, by traveling on the path of what that iman requires, acting in accordance with it, he said that then the angels descend upon them, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. That you should not fear nor grieve. Just like in this ayat, he said that for those who say that Allah is our Lord and they travel the correct path, يعني استقاموا, they are straight on the right path, the angels descend upon them, meaning at the time of their death. And they tell them, don't have any fear nor grieve, and take the good news, وَأَبْشِرُوا فِي الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ, of the Jannah that you have been promised. So here's this third characteristic. It is also in accordance with the previous description. The meaning of istiqamah here, it is similar to the meaning of التقوى in the other ayat. يعني it means that the person who has iman must act in accordance with it. The one who stays on this path, as istiqamah. Then he says that the awliya of Allah, they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in His saying, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. That the awliya of Allah are those who have no fear nor shall they grieve. They are those who believe, who have iman, and who fear Allah. They have taqwa. Then the Shaykh says that it is not so, that whoever claims al-wilaya, that he is really a wali. Not everybody who claims that he is close to Allah or he is of the friends of Allah. Not everyone who makes this claim is indeed a wali of Allah. If it were so, then everyone would be claiming it. However, the way to weigh the claim of the one who makes such a claim, to weigh his, yani the truthfulness of his claim is through his actions. Yani the scale that is used to weigh the one who claims to be a wali of Allah, it is his actions. The Shaykh says, if his actions are based upon al-iman and taqwa, if his actions are in accordance with iman and taqwa, then indeed he is a wali. Because this is the description that Allah has given of the wali of Allah. The wali of Allah is the one who has iman and the one who has taqwa. And is the true believers who have iman and taqwa, they are the awliya of Allah. Not somebody who performs miracles or does some supernatural or extraordinary feat, but indeed the awliya of Allah are those who have iman and taqwa. He said then, the one who claims such, we can look at his actions. And if they are based upon and in accordance with an iman and taqwa, then he is a wali. Otherwise, if it is not so, then he is not a wali. Then the Shaykh makes an argument, a very important argument, against those who claim al-wilaya, who claim to be of the awliya of Allah. He says that this claim of wilaya, indeed it is tazkiyatun li nafsihi. It is as though the person is attributing to himself righteousness and piety. It is as though that person who claims to be the wali of Allah, it is as though he is claiming or attributing to himself righteousness. He is attributing to himself purity, that his soul is a pure soul. This is tazkiyah li nafsihi, the Shaykh said. The one who claims so, it is as though he is ascribing to himself righteousness. And that is a negation of taqwa. It is a negation of the true taqwa of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53, verse 32, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ. And Allah has prohibited anybody to ascribe to their self purity or righteousness. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ. Don't ascribe to yourselves purity and righteousness. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the best one who knows, the one who really has taqwa. He is the one who knows who has taqwa. He says then, if anybody claims that he is of the awliya of Allah, then he has ascribed to himself purity. He has made this tazkiyah of himself which Allah has prohibited. In that case, he has fallen into disobedience of Allah. He has fallen into that which Allah has prohibited. And this disobedience of Allah is a negation of at-taqwa. It is a negation of at-taqwa. So the awliya of Allah, indeed the true awliya of Allah, they do not ascribe purity or righteousness to themselves with the likeness of such a testimony or certification of themselves as though they are righteous or that they are the people of taqwa. But indeed, they are those who believe in Allah and who fear Allah, who have taqwa. And they perform acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect way and to the best of their ability in the way that it should be done. And they do not deceive the people or mislead them with such claims, claiming that they are the awliya of Allah, so that they lead those people away from the way of Allah. So these who claim for themselves, yani this such a claim, sometimes they call themselves asiyad, yani that they are sayyid or sada, yani the direct descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes they claim for themselves to be awliya, that they are the friends of Allah, those who are close or near to Allah. He said concerning these people, if anybody would consider or look carefully to that which they are upon, and in the way that they are living, then they would find that they are the furthest of the people from being in this condition of wilaya, yani of nearness to Allah, or in the condition of sayada, yani of being those who should be claiming as though there is some honor for them as being direct descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which means that if somebody is a wali of Allah or they are a direct descendant of the Prophet, they should be acting in the best manner. They should be better than the other people. So my advice to my Muslim brothers is that they should not be deceived by such claims of wilaya, those who claim that they are wali, until they measure the condition of that person by what has come in the text, the legal text, and meaning the Quran and Sunnah, of the characteristics, the awsaf of the awliya of Allah. Until they look at those characteristics that have come in the Quran and Sunnah and measure that person's condition with these characteristics, they shouldn't make any judgment and they should not be deceived or misled by such people just by their mere claim of being a wali. Here, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, has indicated or pointed to a sign of the love of Allah. Allamatu mahabbatillah. He has pointed to the sign of the love of Allah, wa wilayatihi, and his wilaya, closeness, the one who is aligned with him, or the one who has friendship with Allah. He has pointed to it in what he has mentioned of these ayats, three ayats. The first of them, it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if indeed you truly love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. Yani the first sign of the love of Allah is al-ittiba', following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ayat in Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 31, he said, this ayat is called ayatul mihna. It is called ayatul mihna. Ay al-imtihan. Yani it is the ayat that was a test or a trial for those who claim, for the people who claim that they love Allah. It is a test or a trial for them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they made such a claim, He revealed this ayat. And in that case, whoever claims the love of Allah, we should look to his actions. And if his actions are in accordance with the Messenger of Allah, yani in accordance with the following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهُوَ صَادِقٌ, then he is truthful. وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ, but if his actions are not in accordance with the Sharia, are not in accordance with the Sunnah, then he is a liar in his claim. The second ayah, this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 54, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. O you who believe, that whoever turns back from amongst you from his deen, then soon Allah will bring a people who he will love them and they will love him. An ayatain, two ayats. And these ayats, the shaykh now begins to mention the remainder of the ayat and that which is indicated in them of characteristics, which are, yani awsaf, awsaf or characteristics, which are the characteristics of the love of Allah. Yani those who Allah loves, we will find them having these four characteristics. He said in these ayat and Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the awliya of Allah, or those whom He loves, He has described them with the signs of love and the fruit of that love with four characteristics. Al-Wasf al-Awwal, the first characteristic, أَنَّهُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that they are humble to the believers, to those who believe. They are humble with them. They do not fight against them. They do not stand in opposition to them. And they do not oppose them or abandon them. Al-Wasf al-Thani, the second time, أَنَّهُمْ أَعِزَّةٍ أَوْ أَعِزَّةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that they are stern and severe against the disbelievers, the people of kufr. And the first sign is that they are humble and easy with the believers, and the second sign that they are stern and severe with the disbelievers. Yani they are strong against them to overcome them and to defeat them. Al-Wasf al-Thalith, أَنَّهُمْ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the third description is that they make jihad in the way of Allah, in the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah, to make the word of Allah uppermost, to make the word of Allah supreme in the earth, not for land, not for wealth, not for something of their nation, nationalism, but those who strive in the cause of Allah. That is, they exert their efforts to fight against the enemies of Allah in order to make the word of Allah to be the Most High or the Supreme. Al-Wasf al-Rabi'ah, the fourth characteristic, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, that they do not fear in matters related to Allah, in matters of the deen of Allah, they do not fear the blame of those who might censure or blame them. That is, if somebody blames them for what they have performed of things related to the deen of Allah, yani fulfilling the obligations which Allah has made upon us, then they don't fear and they don't worry about the blame of those who would blame them. And that this blame that comes from those people blaming them for performing the obligations of Allah, it will not prevent them, it will not stop them from performing the obligations that are upon them in the deen of Allah. These four characteristics, he said, they are characteristics which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for those who He loves and who love Him. The third ayat that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions, it is the saying of Allah to Yunus in chapter 10, verse 62, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَخَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, that is it not so that indeed the awliya of Allah, there is no fear upon them, not shall they grieve. They are those who آمَنُوا, who believe, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and those who have taqwa, the people of piety and righteousness. In this ayat he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear that his awliya, the awliya of Allah, they are those who are described with two descriptions, هَذَيْنِ الْوَصْفَيْنِ, two descriptions. These are the main descriptions of the awliya of Allah. Al-Iman and al-Taqwa, having faith, conviction in the heart, believing in Allah, and whatever else is required of Iman and Islam. And al-Taqwa, yani piety and righteousness, meaning in the actions that they observe the laws of Allah and the Sharia of Allah, and act in accordance with the Sunnah of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Iman bil-Qalb, al-Iman, the first of those descriptions, is that which is in the heart. And التقوى بالجوارح, and التقوى, it means the body parts or the limbs of the body, yani acting, doing the act and saying those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. So whoever claims al-wilaya, whoever claims that he is the wali of Allah, and he is not described with these, he is not characterized by these two descriptions, فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ, then he is a liar, and he is making a false claim. Then he says, then the Shaykh rahimahullah, meaning Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he made clear that the situation reached the point where it became opposite. I mean, what was considered as the awliya of Allah, they began to consider the awliya of Allah having the descriptions that are opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described. And this was amongst most of those who claim knowledge, من يدعي العلم, yani those who claim to be people of knowledge. They claim that they have knowledge of the deen of Allah. And they claim that they are the hudat al-khalq, that they are the guides who guide the creatures of Allah. And they are the huffad of the shara, they are those who protect and preserve the sharia of Allah. They claim so. فالولي عنده, he said that the wali with these people, it is the one who does not follow the messengers, and the one who does not make jihad in the way of Allah, and the one who does not believe in Allah, and who does not have taqwa of Allah. This is the end of what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions in his sharh. Then he says, it is proper and it is good that we should transmit here what has been written by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his essay entitled Al-Furqan Bayna Awliya Ar-Rahman Wa Awliya Ash-Shaytan. The criterion, Al-Furqan, the criterion, or the decisive criterion, Bayna Awliya Ar-Rahman, which distinguishes between the Awliya of Ar-Rahman, the Awliya of Allah, and the Awliya of Ash-Shaytan. That book has been translated more than once, and the latest translation of it is a very good translation. Whoever can find it, it is worth reading. It is a tremendous book, and here Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has summarized some of the main points in that book from the beginning to the end of it he has taken, and he has made a long quotation here for that reason. We will hasten a little bit. He said that we will quote here from his essay, وَنَسُوقُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهَا, and we will just mention whatever is possible, whatever is easy for us to mention. قَالَ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear in his book, Al-Qur'an, and in the sunnah of his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has awliya from amongst the people. That from amongst the people there are those who are the awliya of Allah. And likewise, shaitan has awliya. Yani, that both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as the shaitan, la'natullah alayhi, have awliya from amongst the people. And he has distinguished between the awliya of Ar-Rahman, the awliya of Allah, and the awliya of the shaitan. He has distinguished between them. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَخَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, yani the ayat that we have mentioned previously from Surah Yunus, that isn't it so that the awliya of Allah, they have no fear, nor shall they grieve. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, they are those who believe and who have taqwa. And he completes the ayats related to this, لَهُمَ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, they have al-bushra, the good news, in the life of this world and in the next life. لَا تَبَدِيلَ لِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ, and there's no changing the word of Allah, yani the promise of Allah, what he has said concerning his awliya, it is permanent, it is fixed, it cannot be changed, it cannot be removed, it cannot be replaced, it is permanent. لا تبديل لكلمة الله, ذلك هو الفوز العظيم, and that is indeed the supreme success. That is indeed the supreme success. Here, some of the scholars of tafsir, such as Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir and others, said that لَهُمَ الْبُشْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, that they have the good news in the life of this world and the next. It means that in this world, that they would be looked upon in a good way by the believers. And some said, according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that al-bushra in this life, it is al-ru'ya al-salihah, it is the righteous dream that that person will have, or that someone else will have about them. In that dream, there will be a bushra, a good news, even in their lifetime, that they are of the awliya of Allah. And in the next life, they will have the bushra at the time of their death, as in the ayah that we mentioned earlier, that the angels will descend upon those who say Allah is our Lord, and who are يعني ثم استقاموا, and then they remained firm in observing the laws of Allah, the angels would descend upon them and they would say, have no fear, no grief, and they would say, أبشروا في الجنة التي كنتم توعدون, that have the good news of the jannah which you have been promised. And that is at the time of their death they will have good news. And the bushra in the grave, it would be the pleasure of Allah and the peace of Allah and the na'im that they would experience even in the grave. And the bushra in the next life, it is entering the paradise. And then he says that, yani after some further on, he went further on, quoted from another place saying that he has mentioned the awliya wa shaytan in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. And in this ayat he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the awliya of the shaytan, that if any one of you intends to read the Quran, he should seek refuge in Allah from the rejected shaytan. For verily he has no authority over those الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and who put their trust and reliance upon their Lord alone. Indeed, his sultan or his authority is on those who follow and obey him. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ, those who follow and obey him. They are his awliya, and those are the ones who have sultan over. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ, and those who are mushrik, yani associating something in the worship of Allah. This is in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verses 98-100. Then after some, he goes further on and quotes again from another place, so that which is obligatory. Yani the obligation on the believer is to distinguish between these and those. Yani the awliya of Allah and the awliya of the shaytan, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have distinguished between the awliya of Allah and the awliya of the shaytan. For indeed the awliya of Allah are the mu'minun, those who have iman, and the muttaqun, those who have taqwa. Then he goes further on and he quotes again saying, they are those who believe in him, in Allah, and they are those who give their loyalty or allegiance, obedience to him, that is Allah. And then he goes on to describe a detailed description of the awliya of Allah, those who have iman and taqwa. He said that they love what he loves, what Allah loves, and they hate what he hates, and they are pleased with what he is pleased with, and they are angry or displeased with what he is displeased with, and they order that which he has ordered, and they prohibit that which he has prohibited, and they give to those whom he loves should be given, and they prohibit from those whom he loves should be prohibited. And then again he goes on, he quotes, so no one will be a wali for Allah except the one who believes in him and who believes in that which yani he has sent. No one will be a wali of Allah except the one who believes in him and that which he has sent, and who follows, or that which he, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which the one who believes in him and that which he has brought, meaning the message, the revelation, the Quran, and who follows him inwardly and outwardly. Yani not only in outer appearance but also in their heart. They have sincerity and that which is required within the human being. So whoever claims the love of Allah and that they are the wali of Allah, which they claim wilaya, then they do not follow him. They do not follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they are not from the awliya of Allah. Indeed, whoever opposes him, meaning the Messenger of Allah, then he is from the a'da' of Allah, the enemies of Allah, and he is of the awliya of the shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the saying which we mentioned previously, say that if you love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. Yani, it means that you must follow the Prophet, and whoever opposes him, then they are not of those whom Allah loves, and they don't love Allah. They are not the awliya of Allah, they are the awliya of the shaytan. They are the enemies of Allah. Then he says, the people, فَالنَّاسُ مُتَفَاضِلُونَ فِي وِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ, yani that the people are on different levels. In reference to the wilayah of Allah, the people are on different levels. They are not the same. Those who are awliya of Allah are not all the same, but they are on different levels. Some of them are higher or lower than others. He said, their levels are in accordance with the differences in their iman and their taqwa. Yani to the extent that their iman is higher and their taqwa is more, then their level also, the level of their wilayah or the nearness to Allah, or the friendship with Allah, is also higher. And likewise, the people are different in their adawa of Allah, yani in their enmity for Allah, in accordance with the difference in their kufr and their nifaq. Yani into the extent of their kufr, how severe it is, and how severe is their hypocrisy, then to that extent would be their adawa or their yani enmity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, he goes on again to quote from another place, and he says, all of this is quotation from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He says that the awliya of Allah, the true believers who have iman and taqwa, that there are two tabaqat, tabaqatan. There are two tabaqat, tabaqatan. Yani two levels of the awliya of Allah. The first of them is the sabiqoon, muqarrabun. Yani those who are foremost in doing good deeds, and who are foremost in seeking nearness to Allah. The sabiqoon al-muqarrabun. And the other of them is ashab al-yameen, the people of the right hand, as opposed to the people of the left hand, those who will be punished, who Allah is displeased with. The second group are ashab al-yameen. They are also of the awliya of Allah, but not equal to the sabiqoon, the muqarrabun. And they, ashab al-yameen, they are the muqtasidun, described in another place in the Qur'an. Yani, those who are moderate in doing good deeds. As some of the scholars said, it means that they fulfill all of the obligations that Allah has placed on them. And they refrain from all of what Allah has prohibited from them. But they don't go further than that. And also abstain from that which is makruh. And they don't go further than that. And also engage in those things which Allah loves, the mustahabbat. But they only do that which is obligatory and don't worry about that which is mustahab. And they avoid that which is haram and they don't worry about that which is makruh. This is the ashab al-yameen or the muqtasidun, those who are moderate in doing good deeds. They are lower level than the sabiqoon al-muqarrabun. Then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this class, these two classifications with different words in different places, in a number of places in his mighty book, fi kitabih al-aziz. The first of those places is in the beginning of Surah Al-Waqi'ah and also in the end of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Yani, in chapter 56, in the first verses from 1 through 14, and in the end of the same chapter 56, the verses from 83 to 96. Likewise, he has mentioned these two classifications of the awliya of Allah, of the righteous believers, in Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76, verses 3 through 12. Likewise, he has mentioned it in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, chapter 83, verses 7 through 28. And he has also mentioned these categories in Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verses 32 to 35. And the Shaykh has not mentioned those ayats, but the last of them, at least, we can mention, it is Surah Al-Fatir, it is a short verse, where he has mentioned in these verses, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ. Then we have given as irth, as inheritance, we have given the book, meaning the Qur'an. أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Those who we have chosen from our servants. We have given them as inheritance the book, that is Al-Qur'an, the revelation. And then he mentioned three categories. One of them, it is the category of those who are disobedient and sinful. And the other two are the categories that the Shaykh has been talking about here. Those who are moderate in doing good deeds and those who are foremost. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Yani from amongst those who have been given the book, from amongst the slaves of Allah, are those who are ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Those who are wrongdoers of their own selves. That is, they are disobedient to Allah. So that means they have wronged them of their own selves due to their sin. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدُونَ. And those who are moderate in doing good. That is, those who observe all of those obligatory things and avoid those which are prohibited, not going further than that. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And those who are foremost in doing good deeds by the permission of Allah. By the permission of Allah. By Allah's tawfiq. Allah has given them the tawfiq to be foremost. Not only in doing the obligatory things, the wajibat, but also the mustahabbat, those which are commendable or loved or rewardable deeds. And they have not only avoided the muharramat, but they have also avoided those things which are makruh, detestable, undesirable. Those are the sabiqun bil khayrat. Then he said, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ, and that is indeed the great bounty of Allah, that is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as inheritance to His servant, the book, Al-Qur'an. Then the shaykh goes on again and he mentions another quotation, that the Jannah, وَالْجَنَّةُ دَرَجَاتٌ مُتَفَاضِلَةٌ تَفَاضُلًا عَظِيمًا. And likewise the paradise, it has many degrees which are different, and the differences in those degrees are great. They are not, any of the people who enter paradise will not all be the same, but they are levels and they are degrees. And the awliya of Allah, that is the mu'minun, the muttaqun, the believers who have taqwa, they will be in those different degrees in paradise in accordance with their iman and in accordance with their taqwa. Then the shaykh says, whoever doesn't seek to get near to Allah, yani he doesn't do the hasanat, good deeds, and he doesn't leave off the sayyi'at, evil deeds, لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ, then he will not be of the awliya of Allah. Those who don't seek to get near to Allah, then they will not be of the awliya of Allah. They will only be of the awliya of Allah by seeking to get near to Him, by doing those good deeds and avoiding the prohibited things. Therefore, it is not permissible for anyone to believe that someone is a wali of Allah, especially when that person, his way is known, that he is acting contrary to that which has been described in the Quran and the Sunnah, simply because he has been able to unveil some unknown or secret knowledge, something of the unseen, which he has heard from him. Or because he has done some type of deed or some great feat or something, yani, which is unusual or extraordinary. It is not sufficient due to such things that one should believe someone to be of the awliya of Allah. It is not permissible. It is not permissible for anyone to use as a proof these things alone and consider someone to be a wali for Allah just because he has been able to inform about something which was supposed to be a secret or something which is unknown, or because he has done some amazing or fantastic feat or something. And that is, it's not permissible to base one's claim or to believe or to claim someone to be a wali based on these things alone. He said, that is, even if we don't know that person to have done something which negates al-wilayah, yani, even if we don't know he has done some sinful act, or some clearly disobedient act, or something which is contrary to a taqwa and iman, even if we don't know so, it's not sufficient just because he has done some amazing feat to claim that he is a wali. So what about if we know that he has done that which contradicts and negates and nullifies al-wilayah? Yani, the Shaykh Al-Samit Taymiyyah is saying here, that if somebody has done an amazing feat, it's not sufficient just by that alone to say he's the wali of Allah. Even if we don't see him doing something evil or haram, even if we don't see that, by that alone, doing an amazing feat doesn't mean he's wali of Allah. What about those who we actually know they have done evil deeds which are contrary to that which the awliya of Allah have been described with? Then even more so, we should not make such a claim for them. Such things, he said, if we know about them that that person does not believe it is obligatory to follow the Prophet ﷺ outwardly and inwardly. They don't believe it's obligatory to follow the Prophet ﷺ openly and inwardly. But they believe that they have to follow the laws outwardly, not the inner realities of the law. Yani, they just have to do the surface thing. As long as they are doing that, they don't have to have the true iman and taqwa in their hearts. Or those who believe that the awliya of Allah have a way or a road or a path to Allah which is other than the road of the Prophet. And if they have a secret way, like the tariqah of the Sufiya, they have another way that is not from the way of the Prophet, and they claim that that is the way to Allah. Likewise, if we know that somebody believes such, then we should never accept them, or we should never claim that they are wali of Allah. And then he goes on and quotes to another place, Based upon this, whoever openly claims to be a wali of Allah, while he is not fulfilling the obligations that Allah has placed on us, nor is he avoiding the prohibited things which Allah has prohibited us from, but in fact, maybe he does those things which negate, yani which oppose or contradict the Sharia, then it is not right for anyone to say that this person is a wali of Allah. Then he goes on again, and he quotes. And he says that there is nothing for the awliya of Allah of those outward matters which are of the allowed or the permissible things. There is nothing of the outer appearance of the permissible things that distinguishes a wali of Allah from the other people. There is no outward appearance, certain type of clothing or a certain way that he walks or talks or something. There's nothing outwardly of the permissible things in the appearance of human beings that distinguishes the wali of Allah from the other people. Then he says, likewise, it is not a condition for the wali of Allah that he be ma'asum, and that he be infallible. It is not a condition for a person to be considered as a wali of Allah that he has to be infallible, that he doesn't make any mistake or he doesn't commit any error. In fact, on the contrary, it is permissible that some of the knowledge of the Sharia might not be known to him. He might not know everything in the Sharia. And it is also permissible that some things of the matters of the deen might be unclear to him, or he might be confused about them. It's not a condition that he has to know everything, and that he has to have perfect knowledge, or that he has to be faultless. That is not a condition of Al-Wilaya, Al-Usma, that a person is perfect or infallible or free of error. For this reason, if the wali of Allah, if we know that it is permissible for him to make a mistake or error, if we know that it is allowed, it is possible, and it is likely, and it will happen because they are human beings, in that case, it is not obligatory on the people of Iman, or it is not obligatory on the people to believe or to have Iman in everything that he says, yani, the one who he is the wali of Allah. To believe everything he says is not obligatory, unless that wali of Allah is of the anbiya of Allah. Unless he is a prophet or a messenger, in that case it is obligatory to believe in everything that he says. On the contrary, he said that it is obligatory to consider or to weigh all of what he says and what he does, to weigh it in accordance with what has come through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if it is in agreement, then it is accepted, and if it is in contradiction, then it is rejected. And if we don't know if it's in agreement or in contradiction to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with, then we hold back and we don't act in accordance with it. We don't act on it, but we remain, yani, taking a top position. We don't go forward in that thing. Then Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah says that the people in this matter are three types. Yani, the people concerning the acceptance of what the awliya of Allah say or do, they are classified into three categories: tarfan wa wasat, two extreme opposites, and the middle four. So from amongst the people, yani, the positions of the people concerning acceptance or rejection of what the awliya of Allah say, they are amongst them, the first group, those who believe that whenever they believe somebody is a wali of Allah, then they agree with him in everything that they think his heart has spoken to him from his Lord. Yani, whatever inspiration came to him, then they agree with whatever came to him. And they also submit to and follow all of what he does. The first group are those who, when they think somebody is a wali of Allah, then everything that he says or does, they agree with it, and they accept it, and they follow it. The second group are those who, when they see that he has said or done something which is not in agreement with the Sharia, then they remove him from the wilaya of Allah in totality. And if he says one thing wrong or makes one error in his actions, then they said no way he can be a wali of Allah. He's absolutely removed from it. Even if he is a mujtahid, mukhti, yani even if he has made ijtihad in the matter and he has erred in it, then still they remove him from being a wali in totality. Then he said the best of the affairs is the middle course. That is the third group. And that is those who, they do not make him ma'asuman nor ma'asuman. They don't make him ma'asum. They don't say that if he's a wali of Allah, he has to be ma'asum infallible. Nor do they say that he is a sinner, total sinner, because he has made a mistake. إِذَا كَانَ مُجْتَهِدًا مُخْتِيًا يعني if he is a mujtahid and he has erred, then they don't believe he should be ma'asum, nor do they believe that he should be considered as a sinner, because he has erred in a matter in which he has made ijtihad. So therefore they don't follow him in everything that he has said, and they don't accept everything that he has said absolutely, nor do they rule against him as being a kafir or a sinner due to his ijtihad if he has erred in it. So what is obligatory upon the people is following what Allah has sent through His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he stopped here on this point. The next point that the Shaykh makes is a qaida, or a principle that is very important. He said that the salaf of this ummah, the righteous predecessors of this ummah, are in agreement. And likewise, the imams of this ummah, that everyone, we may take from what he says or we may leave it. Every human being, it is permissible to take from him or to leave it. Illa Rasulullah, except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a basic principle. That everyone, if he is imam, he is wali or whatever, everyone we may take or we may leave from what he said. We are not obligated to follow what they have said in totality, except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of the differences between the Anbiya and others besides them. That the Anbiya, we have to follow them in everything. Yani, the Anbiya, salawatullah alayhi wa salam, for them, it is obligatory to have faith in everything that they have informed us about from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is obligatory to obey them in everything that they have commanded us with. Contrary to the awliya, as opposed to the awliya, because it is not obligatory to obey them in everything that they have commanded, nor is it obligatory to have faith or iman in everything that they have informed about. But we should judge their matter and the information that has come to them based on the Qur'an and based on the Sunnah. So whatever of it is in agreement with the Qur'an and Sunnah, it is obligatory then to accept it. And whatever is in contradiction to the Book and the Sunnah, then we reject it. And if that one from the awliya of Allah, if he is a mujtahid who made ijtihad in the matter, then he is excused if he erred in what he has said. If he made ijtihad, he is excused in what he has said, and he will get one reward for his ijtihad. However, if he has contradicted the Book and the Sunnah, then he is in error, it is a mistake. And his mistake is forgiven. If he is of those who fear Allah and he has made every effort to achieve the correct opinion in the matter. And then he goes on again and he says, this which I have mentioned, that the awliya of Allah, it is obligatory on them to adhere to and stick to the Book and the Sunnah, and there is no one from amongst them who is infallible, and that it is possible and permissible for them and for others. Ma'asum, it is not, yani, it is obligatory on them to hold fast to the Book and the Sunnah. And it is not permissible, because he is not infallible, it is not permissible for him or for others to follow everything that came in, that he felt in his heart, yani, that he was inspired with, or the feeling that he had, or spiritual experience that he had. It is not permissible to follow it all until there is given consideration to the Book and the Sunnah, until it is weighed or considered in accordance with the Book and the Sunnah. And this is that which has been agreed upon by the awliya of Allah. So whoever opposes this, then he is not from the awliya of Allah, yani those who Allah has ordered us to follow. But in fact, if he opposes this, yani this position, and demands that people have to follow him in everything that he says or he does, then he is either a kafir, or he is mufarritan fil jahl, yani somebody who is in extreme ignorance, who has gone beyond the bounds of ignorance. Then he goes on and says that many of the people have erred in this topic, and they think that a person, if he is a wali of Allah, If they think that he is the wali of Allah, they accept from him whatever he says, and they follow everything that he says, and they accept everything that he does. And if even if it opposes the book and the sunnah, they agree with him in it, and they oppose and they contradict what Allah has sent by his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which Allah has made obligatory on all of the creatures to believe what he has informed us of and to obey what he has commanded us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him, meaning the Prophet, has made him the fariq, the one who distinguishes between his awliya and his a'da, to distinguish between his awliya and his enemies. And he has made the Prophet the one to distinguish between the people of Jannah and the people of fire. And he has made the Prophet to distinguish between those who will be successful and those who will be wretched, the losers, and who will be punished. So whoever follows him, the Prophet, then he is from the awliya of Allah who have taqwa. And he is of the soldiers of Allah who will be successful. And he is of the servants of Allah who are the righteous. And whoever does not follow him, then he is of the enemies of Allah who are losers and who are criminals, the mujrimeen. And whoever opposes the Prophet, it will lead him. And this is a very important point. Whoever opposes the Prophet, who contradicts the Prophet to follow the wali of Allah, whoever he claims the wali of Allah, it will lead him. Yani opposing the Prophet and agreeing with the person, first it will lead him to bid'ah and dalala. Whoever opposes the Prophet and follows somebody who he claims to be a wali, if he opposes the Prophet to follow that person, it will lead him to innovation and it will lead him to misguidance. الضلال. And in the end it will lead him to kufr and nifaq, to disbelief and hypocrisy if he continues to oppose that which the Prophet ﷺ has brought in order to be in agreement with that one who is claimed to be a wali. Then he goes on again and he says that we find that many of the people, what they rely upon in their belief of someone being a wali of Allah is that he has been able to unveil some hidden realities or some unseen matters. Or he has done some amazing things that are khariqa lil'ada, yani which are extraordinary or unnatural or supernatural. They have relied upon this alone in order to determine somebody to be a wali. Then the Shaykh says, but there is nothing of these matters which would indicate that the one who does so is a wali of Allah. But in fact, it is agreed upon by the awliya of Allah themselves that even if a person flies in the air or if he walks on the water, then no one should be deceived or amazed by him until they look at his mutaba'ah for the Messenger of Allah. Until they look and see, is he actually following the Prophet of Allah? If they look and see, is he in agreement with the command of Allah and with the prohibition of Allah? They should not make any judgment, even if they saw a person flying in the air or walking on the water. Then the Shaykh says, in reference to karamat, or those amazing feats, or any extraordinary deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows some of the awliya to do, he said that the karamat of the awliya of Allah are greater than these things that we see these people doing. And these matters, which are extraordinary, even though it might be done by a wali of Allah, it might also be done by one who is an enemy of Allah. These amazing things. It might be done even by the enemies of Allah. Yani it might be done by tricks, or it might be done by help from the jinn or from the shayateen. So this is not the criterion. He said that many of these extraordinary acts are done by the disbelievers, or by the mushrikeen, or by the Ahl Kitab, or the munafiqeen. And they are also done by the people of innovation. And this will be done through the help of the shayateen. Yani it is done from the shayateen. So it is not permissible to think that everyone who has done such a thing, one of these things, that he is a wali of Allah. But we should consider that the awliya of Allah are those who we look at their characteristics, their actions and their condition. And if their characteristics and their actions and their condition are that which are indicated in the book and the sunnah, then we will judge them accordingly. And they are known by the nur of iman, the light of iman that Allah gives to the believers to know truth from falsehood. And they are known by the Qur'an, by that which is contained in the Qur'an. And they are known by those who fulfill that which he calls haqa'iq al-iman al-batiniyya, yani the inner or internal realities of faith, and the shara'i al-islam al-zahira, and the outward, yani legal laws or regulations of Islam. Yani by the inner realities of faith and as well by observing the outer laws of Islam. That's how they are known. Then he goes on and says that it has been agreed upon by the Salaf of this Ummah, by the first generations of the Muslim Ummah, and by its Imam, and by the rest of the Awliya of Allah. Yani, the Awliya of Allah are the first generation, the Sahaba, as well as the Imams of this Ummah, and the rest of the Awliya of Allah who came after them, it is agreed upon. And this is another important point, that the Anbiya of Allah are better than the Awliya, that every Prophet of Allah is better than any Wali of Allah. There's the least of the Prophets is better than the greatest of the Awliya of Allah, even if they are true Awliya of Allah. Yani, that the Prophets are better than every one of the Awliya of Allah, unless it is one of the Prophets themselves. And then he mentioned yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged in degrees his slaves who are successful, those who he have given his favor to, yani his ni'am. He said they are arranged in four maratib, four levels or four degrees. And this is mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 69, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that those who obey Allah and the Messenger, yani who in accordance with the Sharia of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, he said that they are four maratib, arba'a maratib. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, that they are with those who Allah has given His bounty or His favor to, من النبيين, from amongst the Prophets, والصديقين, and the truthful, والشهداء, and the martyrs, والصالحين, and the righteous, وحسن أولئك رفيقا, and indeed these are the best as companions. Then the Shaykh goes on to say that they have karamat which Allah honors them by, and in which He honors His awliya who are the pious, and those who are the best of His awliya. He has given them karamat for two reasons. One, لِحُجَّةٍ فِي الدِّينِ, as a proof in the deen, yani to convince people or to guide them to Islam. And two, لِحَاجَةٍ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ, as because it is a need for some to fulfill some need of the Muslim. Yani the karamat that Allah gives to His awliya, the true karamat, it is either as a proof in the deen to guide the people to the right way, or it is to fulfill some need of the Muslim. Just as the mu'jizat or the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ were, for these two reasons, either as a proof of the truthfulness of his mission, or to fulfill the needs of the people, feeding them or whatever that they were in need of. The karamat of the awliya of Allah, they are achieved by the barakah or the blessing of following ittiba al-rasul. They are achieved by the blessing of following the Messenger, and for this reason in reality they are also part of the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you 25 minutes? Fine. Let's try to finish. In the last of what he says, therefore, it is obligatory to know that the karamat, yani these amazing feats that Allah may give to His awliya, they might be in accordance with the need of a person. If that person is in need due to his weakness of iman, or he has some other need, then Allah will give him some feat or do something, allow him to do something which will strengthen his iman or fulfill his need. Then he said that these karamat are given for this reason. He said to some people according to their need, because of their physical needs or the weakness of their iman. And he said for this reason, it might be that the one who has a more perfect wilayah or a closer relationship to Allah, he will be without need of such karamat. He doesn't need it. Therefore, he will not perform such feats. And this is due to the highness of his level, and that he is free of need of such things, not to the defect in his relationship to Allah, his wilayah of Allah. And it doesn't mean that those who didn't get any karama, it means that they are weaker. No, it is because they are without need of it, and they are higher, and they are not in need of such. And he said that this is why the karamat were more in the time of the tabi'een than they were in the time of sahaba. Because the sahaba were without need of it for the most part. And this is different from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows some amazing or yani, unusual feats to be done at the hands of those who He allows them to do something to guide the people or to fulfill the needs of other people, not themselves. Then these are of a higher degree. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some amazing feats were done in order to show the truthfulness of his mission, not because of the weakness of his iman, but for the other people. Or he has done some miracles of feeding the people or quenching their thirst or whatever. He has done something to fulfill the needs of the people. That is different. So he said the people, in reference to these supernatural or unusual or extraordinary acts, there are three types of people. The first group of those, and this is the end of what he said, the first group of those are those who deny that such a thing exists except for the Prophet. They said that there's no such thing as karamat, it is only for the Prophet. Or perhaps they might believe it in general, but they will deny much of what is reported to them from the people, because they believe that these people who some karama has been ascribed to, they believe that these people are not the awliya of Allah. Yani the first group are those who believe that there is no karamat except for the Prophet, or they believe in general it can happen for some of the awliya of Allah, but they deny most of what is reported to them because they believe that those reports are not from really true awliya of Allah. The second group are those who think that everyone who has done any type of extraordinary feat or supernatural act, that everyone who has done such a thing, he is a wali of Allah. Anybody who has done something unusual, he is a wali of Allah. And he said both of these are wrong, they are error. For this reason you find that those people, the second group, yani who think that anyone who does a good deed, that is an amazing deed, he is a wali of Allah, he said that you will find that they will mention that there are some karamat done by the mushrikeen, or the people of the book, that they have those who help them and who support them in their fighting against the Muslims. And they think that these people, yani that they are awliya of Allah, from amongst the mushrikeen or the kuffar. And likewise, the first group, you will find that they will deny anyone who has done, they will deny that anyone has done any unusual or extraordinary act. If he is not from the Prophet or the awliya, from amongst the Muslims, they will deny it. That no supernatural act can be done by the kafirs or the disbelievers, they will deny that it can be done. And he said the correct position, it is the third opinion in this matter, and it is that these people, even the disbelievers or the hypocrites or the mushrikeen or the Ahl Kitab, that they might do some amazing feat or some apparently supernatural act, and that they might have some people who help them, but they are from their own type. They are not from help from the angels, and they are not awliya of Allah. But indeed, they are the awliya of the shaytan. And the Shaykh Tabti says that this is sufficient, what we have transmitted here, inshaAllah. And whoever wants more, then they should go to the original book. Wallahu muwaffaq, and Allah is the one who gives the success. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Perhaps, those who are able to return, we can come back after salat and take the questions at the end of the handout, and also to look at if there's any comments or questions or corrections from the brothers, inshallah. Huh? 5 or 10 minutes? Before your comment? Okay, then quickly, let's look at the questions at the end of the handout. The first of them discussed briefly, Al-Asl Al-Khamis, the fifth fundamental mentioned by the Mu'allif, by the author, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And what is the fifth principle that he has mentioned here? Naam, that they are both awliya of Allah and awliya of shaytan, and we should distinguish between them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have distinguished between them. What is the first sign of Allah's mahabba or love mentioned by the author in chapter 3 verse 31, Surah Ali Imran? The first sign of the love of Allah, it is ittiba' rasul, that they follow the Prophet. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni, then follow me. Mention the four awsaf or characteristics of those who love Allah and who love Him. Those who Allah loves and who love Him. In Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Wala wal-Bara. Well, the first of them, that they are humble to the believers. Naam. It is related to Al-Wala wal-Bara, but it is humility with the believers. And the second of them, which is the Bara, that they are stern against the disbelievers. And the third of them, that they fight in the cause of Allah to make the deen of Allah supreme in the earth. And the fourth of them, that they have no fear of those who blame them for what they do for the pleasure of Allah. They don't care about it. Mention the two main awsaf or characteristics of the awliya of Allah that are mentioned in Surah Yunus. The two main characteristics which are the distinguishing characteristics in the rule of the awliya of Allah is al-iman and al-taqwa. Mention the two tabaqa or the levels of the awliya of Allah mentioned in Quran and Surah Al-Fatiha. The two levels, right. It is as-sabiqoon al-muqarrabun. Those who are foremost in doing good deeds, who go to the utmost, and they are near to Allah. And the second group are ashab al-yameen. Yani muqtasidun. Those who are moderate in doing good deeds. Mention the four maratib or degrees of the servants of Allah mentioned in the Quran and Surah An-Nisa. And those who will be with those whom Allah's favor is upon. The Prophet, the Siddiqeen, yeah, the Shuhada, martyrs, and the Salihin, the righteous. These are different levels of the servants of Allah and tabaqat of the awliya of Allah and characteristics of the awliya of Allah that a Muslim should know in order to observe in their own life. Explain the argument against those who claim to be awliya. This is a very important argument and it should be understood. What is the argument that Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Uthaymeen has presented against those who claim that they are wali of Allah? If somebody claims for himself that he is of the awliya of Allah, what is the argument against him? It is based on the ayah of the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. This ayah that Allah prohibited anybody to ascribe to themselves purity or righteousness. He said based on this ayah that Allah has prohibited somebody to ascribe to themselves righteousness. Therefore whoever has done so, then that person, he has disobeyed Allah and he has done that which Allah has prohibited. And this is a negation of taqwa. And taqwa is of the primary characteristics of the awliya of Allah. Therefore the person who makes such a claim, indeed he is not from the awliya of Allah. The true awliya of Allah don't make claims. They just obey Allah and worship Him and believe in Him. Discuss the qaida, the rule concerning the acceptance of the sayings of men. What is the rule that the Shaykh has mentioned in the explanation concerning the acceptance of the sayings of people? What is our rule here? That every person, we may accept from him or reject from him. Huh? Illa Rasul, except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As many of the scholars used to say, and Imam Malik rahimahullah used to say, sitting in the Prophet, the Masjid of the Prophet, that everyone we take from him or reject it, illa sahibu hadha al-qabr, except the one who was buried in this grave, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will following men, in contradiction to the Sharia, lead a person to? And he following the opinion of those who are considered to be awliya of Allah, in contradiction to the Quran and Sunnah, what will it lead a person to? Al-bid'ah wal-dalal. It will lead to innovation and misguidance. And in the end, it will lead to al-kufr wal-nifaq, disbelief and hypocrisy. The last question mentioned the two reasons for which a karama is given by Allah to a wali. What are the two reasons that the Shaykh has mentioned that Allah will give a karama to a wali? What are the two reasons? Huh? To guide the people as a hujjah for the deen. Huh? To help lihajat, for a hajah of the believers. I need to fulfill the need of the believers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And inshallah, those who aim to return, if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we can do it after the salah. And also there is some refreshments, inshallah.